everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen, especially those of us building our businesses from home, are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I'm looking forward to sharing today's guest with you. Andrea Samasicia Mullen is a passionate communicator and entrepreneur who in 2009 founded Victory Public Relations as an effective PR solution for health, wellness, and beauty brands and the experts who power them. Her understanding of the media, attention to relationships, and ability to identify trends has powered successful campaigns for her clients. Andrea continues to oversee strategy for some of the most innovative beauty brands and medical experts in New York City and beyond, as well as the growth of VPR. So with all that being said, Andrea, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you so much, Dori. It's so wonderful to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to share your journey and what it was in 2009 that led you to create Victory Public Relations.
Thank you so much. It was a confluence of events. I was definitely one of those people who, growing up, I always dreamed of my wedding and my family and getting married and having kids, and also of having a career. And, you know, I would, right along as I grew up and I started to really see how my life would take shape, particularly as I was in college and after college in my first couple of jobs, I really did want both of those things for myself, and I wanted them in a very robust way. And it never made sense to me that it was true that you could have one or the other. So early on out of college, I worked for a newspaper, which I loved. I worked for the Suffolk County Police Department, which was amazing. Both of those jobs required, you know, in person at the desk. From there, I went on to a PR agency, which, you know, as I sort of fine-tuned what my interests were, I ended up at a PR agency where I was able to work with the media as well as get to know brands and help to tell their stories in a more detailed way that really felt very rewarding to me. But still, it was very much, part of the routine to be at the office from 9 to 5, clock in and clock out. And that even then, before I was married, before I had kids, it did not fit what I envisioned for myself. So in 2009, I was laid off during the first recession or the most recent recession. And then I found that I had a very bad luck getting a full-time job, which was what I wanted, but I found that I had great luck finding freelance contracts with individuals to do their PR. And so that's really how it all started. And it was both, there was a little bit of luck and sort of kind of putting one foot in front of the other and encountering many challenges and, you know, just continuing to put one foot in front of the other through them, but also sort of taking in what was happening, you know, what my actual experience was. And, instead of getting overly dejected that I couldn't find a full-time job or that I didn't have luck finding a full-time job, I was able to see it for the opportunity it was, which was suddenly I felt like I had autonomy where there existed none before. I was very young, so I think that had I been a little bit older, I might have been more aware of the risks that were involved in that. But even then, it was very exciting very early on, and that was the beginning of VPR. And then I worked from my apartment on the Upper West Side in New York City for a number of years. And, you know, I felt really very fulfilled with the type of work that I was doing, but also aware that there was so much more that I needed to learn. So it was a winding journey, but one that I look back on really fondly.
It's a wonderful thing. You know, sometimes I'm 17 in my soul, so I've never taken into consideration all of the horrible things that we look at as an adult, you know, because I've resisted adulting for most of my life. But it is. It's exciting to hear you creating something like this so young, doing something like this and realizing that it gives you that flexibility and things. And you actually had an offer to sell your company at one point.
I did.
And didn't.
I did.
Because it wasn't going to support it. Talk to us about what stopped you from doing that.
So I've been doing this now, obviously 2009 sounds like, you know, like 100 years ago. And in so many ways it is. When I started this, you know, I really do look at VPR as having two iterations. So back in that day, and for about 5 or so years after that, it did operate as a consultancy. So I operated with myself. Shortly after I started, I hired Christina Gorini, who is still with me today. And it was just the two of us really running around, you know, working on these different accounts. We were executing largely what was their vision. So we didn't really have oversight in that way. We didn't have much say in the, you know, creative direction of the work that we were doing, but it was okay during that time. And we loved it and we learned so much. And it was only once we started having kids, and I had my kids first, that I really started thinking about the fact that it needed to be a more cohesive business in order for it to continue to support the vision that I had for myself as a, you know, a working mother, as well as, you know, Christina. She went on to have kids. And then I started thinking that it would be really great, you know, if I would be able, for me to be able to support other employees as well. And under that, the way that it was operating then, it really wouldn't, financially, it didn't make sense for us to grow. So during the phase where I was, you know, I refer to it as like being in business school, because I was setting all of these goals, I was listening to all of these podcasts, and I was like asking a million questions, reading all of these books, trying to figure out how I was going to grow this company, failing through a lot of it, somehow, you know, continuing to go on. You know, I have a really supportive husband who enjoys with me sort of like looking at the picture, looking at the problems, looking at the numbers, and trying to figure out what the right way out of it is. And it was during that time that I got to know a marketing agency that was doing great work for healthcare businesses, similar in category to what we were doing most of our work at the time, a much more established agency, and they made an offer. You know, we got to know each other over a period of a number of months, and they offered to buy the company. And at the time, it's exciting when you build a company and someone wants to buy it. And at the time, really, I was feeling very frustrated because I wasn't hitting my goals. And, you know, we had expanded. I had another hire at that time. And so it presented as a really exciting opportunity. And it would have not necessarily, you know, I would have had to go to work for them, which I'm sure would have been great because they were a wonderful team. And again, I was feeling very frustrated and not hitting my goals. So it would have been a nice moment financially for me as well. But one of their asks was that I work full-time from their office. And once my second son was to turn 18 months old, I was going to have to be full-time 5 days a week. We were celebrating, we were excited. And I was like, you know, it's not what I had envisioned for myself. And so I politely declined. And I went on to work for them. My agency managed their PR for a number of years after that. So it was an amicable sort of thing. But it was a learning, too, because it felt like I was so excited about the potential. And I was like, you know, I did all this work and I spent all this time growing and learning. And then I got this great offer, which I was so appreciative about. But it really was not, when I was honest with myself, I didn't want to do it. And so I didn't do it. And I'm sure, you know, people definitely thought I was crazy at the time. But today, in every way, it worked out better for me individually, as well as the people who work for VPR. We've grown and we've hired since then. And, you know, in every way possible. So financially, scheduling-wise, the ability to do the work and, you know, have ownership of that work is much better today than it was then. And, you know, but it's funny because I was so close to taking that, and it would have been great too, I'm sure, but it didn't feel right because of that one little line. I would have had to be in office for 5 days a week, you know, 8 to 6, and that just does not work for me.
You know, why work that hard building somebody else's business and on their terms? I am there with you 1,000% because you wound up managing things for their business anyway. And it helped grow yours, and I applaud you for standing your ground, because so often it's so important. Let's talk about why it's so important for women to make their own income, but how we can change the way that this is happening now.
I think you're right. I agree with you, and that's certainly my perspective when you said, why work that hard to grow someone else's business? And I think that that's an entrepreneurial spirit that I share with you. And I don't think it necessarily is a bad thing if you don't relate to that. And the reason that I point that out is because I think that within every role at a company, you can find satisfaction if the leadership is aware of the fact that, you know, individuals are just that. We bring strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, it is, I think, crucially important to be aware that while individuals are all, you know, we're all unique and we all have our own strengths and weaknesses, I don't know of one person today and 10 years ago who wants to be beholden to another person's schedule that doesn't make sense for them. You know, that is something that I think is fundamentally just a flawed assumption. I think that there are people who can't self-manage. Those people deserve training within an organization about how to do that. That always struck me, this idea that, you know, you had to be in view of your superior in order to, for them to feel as though you were doing a satisfactory job. That just seems to me like a very childish sort of concept that doesn't work. You know, it didn't work for me. It doesn't work for the people who work for me either, by the way. And so I think that's number one. And that ties into the point that you just made about having, you know, making your own money and having your own income. It all comes down to agency. I think that most people, even my kids, who I see them trying to do good work, the reward is partially in your ability to figure it out.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be right back on Word of Mom Radio.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
From the beach to a ball game, from your office to a locker, StadiumBags.com has the clear bags for you. Don't let our name fool you. We are not just for sports fans. The great thing about our bags is, yes, they meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. More importantly, they have the quality, versatility, and style that will stand up to years of use. You can feel free to clean your bags with the solvents that are going to keep the germs away from your home and your personal belongings and still make safety and convenience coexist. So find us at StadiumBags.com. You'll see why we are your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Andreas about Victory Public Relations. And I want to kind of shift, because let's face it, we're in this midst of this pandemic and the new things that are happening. And how do you feel that I've heard people saying that this is going to set working women back, and why that doesn't have to happen?
So this is something we talk about all the time. And I, as a working mom, I relate to that because my experience was that when the first lockdowns happened, you know, it really does, even in my household, and my husband is very supportive and he's a very hands-on father, he, you know, the majority of the heavy lifting when it comes to parenting falls to me. And part of that, to be completely honest, is because that's my preference. You know, I really enjoy being a hands-on mom in the trenches with my kids, but you can't, there's only so many hours in the day and each person only has so much bandwidth. We at Victory, we have for years become accustomed or have trained ourselves to be very, very productive with much less time devoted than I think is the norm. We all work a full-time schedule and we all have, we all have kids. One woman on my staff does not have children right now, but she's made it clear that that's something that she sees for herself in the future. So when COVID happened, we were already very equipped to handle the challenges of having our kids home on top of it and not having childcare. Even for us, we are accustomed to doing this with childcare, with our support system in place. And so while it's not, it's certainly not perfect and it's not the way it should be, and I really am optimistic that it's not going to continue this way for, you know, indefinitely, but we were, the processes and the framework was already there. So the most important thing that we've leaned into during this time, and again, this is something that was already in practice before COVID hit, is prioritizing, being aware of what it is that we need to focus on in order to help us reach our goals and help our clients reach their goals. And we really don't waste time. We do a lot of socializing, you know, and before this we did a lot on video, but we're very honest with how our time is being spent and if it is in fact filling one of the buckets that we need filled. So is it helping us to continue to feel like we are a cohesive team? Is it helping us to continue to move towards our clients' goals and get them closer to whatever it is that we're working on together with them? And are they feeling that? Is it helping us to grow Victory? And if it's not, we usually don't engage in it much further. And I think that part of that, in order to manage a team in this environment where there is not as much oversight necessarily, everyone's working from home, there has to be trust and accountability and responsibility. So we said this very early on. Everybody, and back in 2009, it was not cool to say, oh, I have my own business. I had gotten fired. You know, that's what it was. And people didn't talk about flexibility. People didn't talk about working from home and side hustles the way that we do today. You know, my lesson early on was that as many clients as I had, and I needed as many as I could get, that's how many bosses I had. Flexibility was not viewed. When I would talk about flexibility, it was a turnoff for a lot of our clients because they didn't understand. And I think most people at the time thought that flexibility meant, you know, we just want to work less. And that's not true. You work sometimes harder. Often you work harder in a flexible work environment because you have to be really militant about how you spend your time. And you have to be willing to sort of take your lumps, try something. It's not good. If it doesn't work out, take that criticism very, very quickly, not make the mistake and take it personally, but really use it to get to that next better result. So I think that that's huge. Employers today, workplaces shouldn't view a flexible work schedule as sort of a haphazard thing where people aren't working as hard as they need to be. People aren't as dedicated to the work that they have because that's just not the case. Every working mother that I know, myself included, and my experience is that when I first had my kids in their baby years, I didn't have this moment of, you know, now I'm a mom and I feel so capable. I actually felt so less capable than ever. I was exhausted. I was emotional, run down physically. And so my work definitely did suffer during those times. But I was working within a supportive framework where my colleagues were able to help, you know, they were willing to pitch in and support me so that I could get my feet underneath me. And then I could resume very quickly after my maternity leave. I could resume working with the efficiency and the decisiveness and the authority that the company needs me to execute on. And that's the same. That has been the same experience for every single one of my employees who've gone on maternity leave. It is not easy. It's not, you know, this miraculous sort of, because I'm a mom now, I can do anything. But with the right support and this, and not feeling like you have to hide the fact that you want to be with your kids sometimes. And it's as simple as that. You just want to be with your kids. Not having to hide that and not having people treat you as though, because you feel that way, you are less capable at work. I think that's the most important thing. It's not about having lowered expectations or lowering the bar in any way possible or in any way at all, but acknowledging that you can do both. And that's the expectation. My expectation when someone comes back from maternity leave, and we had someone return from maternity leave on Monday. I know that they're amazing and they're hardworking and they're capable and they're smart, but now they have to figure this out, you know, how to work with a newborn at home during a pandemic. And we're going to be here to help them do that.
I'm a mompreneur since 1994. And I was a single mom of three kids that at the time were 6, 4, and 2. And I started in multi-level marketing. And I worked around my children's schedule with their father. And we're really successfully divorced. My birthday was a few weeks ago. He made dinner for it, you know, and came up
That's
to
wonderful.
Celebrate. Yeah, you know, we just didn't work married, but we worked as parents and now grandparents. I have a 2.5-year-old grandson and a 5-month-old granddaughter from both my sons. I got both flavors. Our daughter hasn't
that's
started
wonderful.
Yet, but that's fine. Yeah, it's a fabulous thing. And it's why Word of Mom is here. Word of Mom Radio, because we are breaking those myths. And if anything, to me, this pandemic has validated women who have built their businesses from home because people have realized the dedication that it takes, the organization that it takes. And now here you are working and your office may have been the kitchen table. Now you got to share it with your husband and your kids and everything else. So it's now, you know, we were doing suggestions way back in March and April and May of putting a different color light bulb in. And when that blue light goes on, that means unless you've severed a hand, don't bother mommy. Mommy has to focus. And when that light goes off, now I can do both. But and if anything,
totally,
the women found their husbands or their significant others were the hardest ones to follow the blue light. They were the biggest challenge, you know, but it has. I think that it has shown companies that both men and women can be productive at home, but especially moms, and why they are your company's best asset. They're not a drag on what you are doing. They are the best because you should give them that flexibility. It shouldn't be a question of your child's homesick and you've got to leave them with someone else because you can't get into, you have to go to work. You should be able to do it all. And I grew up at a time where you were either a working woman or a mom. There wasn't that balance at all. It was a one or the other. Women my age, I have a bunch of friends who never got married, never had kids because their career meant everything. And now look back and it's like, well, I'm a cool aunt, but I'll never have that. I'll never have grandchildren. And we shouldn't, as women, we shouldn't have to make that choice of giving up something to follow our own dreams. We should be able to have it all. And I think that that is what this has brought into light in this pandemic, that you can work remote, and if anything, sometimes be even more productive because people aren't stopping by your desk and clients aren't just popping in and things like that. You find that efficient time. And you know what? You may be a really early person that getting up at 5:30 in the morning to get work done is easier for you to do. And then when your kids wake up and stuff, you've got that time to devote to them. It all works out. So I applaud you for not only doing that, but showing that this all works and that we're here to support each other in this.
Totally. And I couldn't agree more with that. I think that if a woman, and really any person, because my husband, he, you know, doesn't have as much flexibility at work, but he wants to be with the kids more than, you know, I think he's able to sometimes. So this applies to both parents, and mothers are historically the ones among us who are sort of put in the position where they have to make that choice. That's true. But if being a mother is what you want for yourself, you absolutely can do both. And this, I don't know, it's so funny, all the buzzwords that kind of get out of control. You know, having it all is an individual experience. And I made and my husband made together a lot of decisions that I'm sure other people would not make for themselves, including having my parents come live with us for a number of years when my second son was just born, because that's what worked for us. And it was, I wanted to have my parents around because, you know, it was a hard time, and trying to make both of the puzzle pieces fit together. And it required some sacrifices on both of our parts. It wasn't perfect having my parents live here for them. You know, they didn't have their independence, and as retirees, they probably wanted to do things that they weren't able to do. And obviously, you know, there are just sacrifices that you make, but I wouldn't have changed it. And I don't think they would have changed it either. I think that it was, not everything is going to be 100% perfect all around. And that's okay, as long as you are being true to what it is that you want for yourself. And making it, if you're in a position of leadership, making it possible for those who work for you to do those things. So that's really, I think that is our guiding principle. And I'm very lucky that we have clients who are also aligned with that vision. And, you know, we're a team of working moms. We work with brands that are mom-focused and those that aren't on the outside. But internally, our brands mostly do take a similarly sort of progressive view about what it means to be a working parent. And so we're not penalized when our kids appear, certainly during COVID, as we were just discussing before we started our call, when our kids appear in the Zoom screen. That is the reality today. And, you know, we help them with whatever they need, and we don't miss a beat. And we get right back into the work that we have to do and that we feel lucky to do.
And you know what? What a perfect way to end this conversation. Andrea, please let our listeners know how they can reach you.
I can be reached on Instagram at Andrea Mullen. That's my personal Instagram. It's AndreaMullan. Or on, you know, VPR is at Victory PR, as well as our website, which is victorypublicrelations.com.
I hope that people reach out. I thank you so much for sharing with us today on Word of Mom Radio. And for all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. We are going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is-